When the Chafetz Chaim published a sefer, his classic sefer on Shmiras HaLashon, which was a revolution because although everybody is aware somehow that there's an Isser of Lashon Hara, but it wasn't really as well known before the Chafetz Chaim published a whole sefer about it and went around to the various cities around the world and spoke about it. He brought light and attention to this all-important Isser. And as we know, the world has been very different since then. At least there's an acknowledgement that it's wrong, and we could try to work on improving our Shmiras HaLashon, but it's all really thanks to the Chafetz Chaim's great efforts to spread this terrible aveir of Lashon Hara that we're even probably talking about it right now. And when he was publishing his classic work, he went around for haskamas to different gedalim. Haskama is something that, like a letter of approval, that you get from great rabbanim before you publish a sefer. So if you open up the standard new sefer that you'd buy in this farm store, it would generally have at least one or two, and possibly many more, letters from gedalim or rabbanim saying, you know, they read through the sefer and it meets their standards and it's approved and etc., being Meshabeach the author. So the Chafetz Chaim wanted to get haskamas for his sefer on Shmiras HaLashon. And one of the gedalim that he approached was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar Movement, which was an obvious choice. I would probably also want to get Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's haskama for any sefer that I wrote, but specifically for such an important feature of the Musar Movement as Shmiras HaLashon. So he went to the... So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a genius, and he looked through the manuscript very quickly but thoroughly, and he says, I can't give you a haskama on the sefer. And Chafetz Chaim was a bit taken aback, and he says, why, what's wrong with the sefer? He says, no, it's a beautiful sefer, you put in a lot of effort and it's going to be a classic, no doubt, but there's one halacha that unless you change it, I'm not giving you a haskama on the sefer. So Chafetz Chaim was surprised. He says, which halacha is it that you're opposed, like you think that I got wrong? He says, you're right that when a person comes to ask Mechila for speaking Lashon Hara about you, so let's say I come to you and I say, please be Mechila, I spoke Lashon Hara about you. And then you say to me, do I have to be Mefarate what I said? Meaning, could I just say, if I said Lashon Hara about you, be Mechila, me that shit. But let's say I know that I said something very specific about you, whatever it was. Do I have to go and be mefarate and say exactly what it is that I said about you in order to get mechila? Or is it enough just to gloss over and say, whatever I said, I probably didn't say anything, but you know, boom. Is that enough? So the Chafetz Chaim says that you have to say specifically what you said. You have to go and say, listen, I'm very sorry, but I said this and this about you, and to this and this person, maybe, and you know, and I'm asking mechila. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says you can't do that because you want to get mechila for your own aveir. You have to make this guy feel like garbage. You have to like tell him, listen, I said that you are you're you know horrible in basketball, you know, and I hope you're meichel me. Like, why do you have to feel bad because I want to get mechila? I have to be mefarei to that and bruise your ego and make you feel bad. Says it should be just enough to say, you know, he said, I can't imagine that that's halacha. The only way for me to procure a mechila from you is by being mefarate the exact Lashon Hara that I said. It doesn't make sense to me, said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I don't believe it's right, and I'm sure he had rayas to what he was saying. And he said, if you want to change that halacha, I'll give you askama, but if not, I can't. The story goes that the Chafetz Chaim did not change it because he felt that that was the halacha, that if you want to get mechila, you have to tell exactly what you said wrong. But he said, how about this? As a compromise, you write a haskama, and in the haskama you say that I give approval to the sefer, except for that halacha I disapprove. He says, no, because nobody reads haskamas. He says, you know, people are just going to go through it. You know, when was the last time anyone here ever read haskama? You know, you just, okay, wow, you got Ramesh's haskama, Yaakov's, Chafetz Chaim. So people don't read the Haskama, so they're going to think I gave Haskama to the whole Sefer, and it's not true, because I'm very against the... There's a whole shtickle from Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, the Pachid Yitzchak, about explaining what the Lamdisha Machlekes, all the underpinnings of this Machlekes between the Chavetz Chaim and Rabbi Saul Salanter, what exactly is going on under the surface, beneath the surface. But that's... I just wanted to tell you this... anecdote, just because I think it's very interesting. I think it's important historically and it's important halachically. But it also is a good introduction to the following story that we're going to learn together about Rabbi Elia Lapian. This is in the same Chelek Aleph of the Lev Eliyahu. But instead of the Shvivei Lev, as we normally learn, we're going to learn tonight a couple of stories about Rabbi Elia Lapian from the part of this Chelek Aleph called Mitol Daisa, which means from his biography. So the first piece on page 50, let's learn that together. Maisa she siper abenu she biyaisei dar bin London. Rabbi Elia Lapian used to live in England, in Britain. And he was living in London before, this is before he went to Eretz Yisrael and became the Mashkiach in the yeshiva there. But he was living in London. One guy came to him and says, I want you to be Meichel. I said something bad about you. I was Pegeya in your covet, and I want you to be Meichel me. So I think if it was me, I would just say, all right, don't worry about it. You're good. I'm Meichel you. But Rabbi Elia Lapian didn't do that. The Amalei Rabbeinu, Shereitzu Lishmaya B'mash Chata Negdai. I want to know exactly what I did, what you said against me. I want to know, not letting it go at that. I want to know. I want to hear the dish. Like what did you say about me? Even though that rebellion insisted on hearing what exactly you said, he refused to say. He didn't want to share that. He was embarrassed. V'kashal af. And even though, despite all of the insisting, I want to hear what you said, he wouldn't do it. I want you to know, if you don't tell, you don't have to tell me, but if you don't tell me, I'm not meichleihu. I'm not meichleihu. If you don't tell me, I'm not meichleihu. The Alkane Nelats I said Musaprasma, he had no choice. So okay, I'll tell you what happened. Shabai Chata Negad Rabbeinu, Kasha Sham Rabbeinu, Eshadavar, Amr Laisich. And when Rebellia heard from him exactly what he said, what you know, how he was speaking Lashon Hara in a very derogatory way, he was trashing him. So he said the following to this guy. I could very easily say, okay, fine, no problem. I'm meichel you. Ach me acher shadavar asher boicha tasa negdi. Hu be'emes chamer. The truth is that what you said to me was really not appropriate. It was beneath you. It was beneath me. And it's a chamer deganyin. It's something that's very strict and strenuous. And it's not an easy thing to just say, I'm meichel you. Lefichach yedeani. If I give you mechila right now, it's not going to be sincere because I'm upset about what you said about me. I don't like the fact that you said it about me, and I'm not really willing to just grant you a full mechila. The alkane atzasi, I'm going to give you an etza. I'm going to give you some advice. Shetelech achshav lebeischa, go home. Come back to me in 2 weeks. I'm going to really work harder. I'm going to learn Musar, as if he didn't learn Musar that much before, but he said, I'm going to really double down on the Musar over the next 2 weeks to really try to work out this issue. The Oz Akava, and then I would hope that in 2 weeks, I hope that in 2 weeks' time I'll be able to give you exactly what you need. And that is exactly how it played out. He went home. 2 weeks later, he came back. And in the meantime, Reli was able to come to terms with it, come to terms internally, externally, and be meichalim. So I think you learn a few things from this story. The first thing that I found interesting about it is that Rabbi Lapian and he was the tzaddik hadar. Make no mistake about it. He wasn't talking about me. He's talking about Rabbi Lapian. He wanted to know what it was that was said about him. I find that interesting, though. He's like, I wouldn't want to hear what was said about it. If somebody comes up to me, I say, Lashon, I don't want to hear it. Like, what do I want to hear? He wanted to hear what it was. I imagine that the reason why he wanted to hear what it was is so that maybe if there's some emes to it, he probably could have worked on himself and improved it. And I guess then what happened was is that he heard that it was just Tam Lashon Hara. It was just like saying disgusting things about him without any real tayeles. And so instead of giving a superficial mechila, he was honest. He said, listen, I don't think I could give you a mechila right now, B'Lev Shalem. And I want to give you a mechila, Shalem, but right now it would be like very, very shvach. And so I advise you to come back in 2 weeks, and then I'll learn Musar, which means that Itaka learned Musar for 2 weeks to work on himself, to like scrub his neshama until he was able to really feel that he was cleansed of any taina, and then he was able to give him a mechila. And I think that there's a lot that, you know, we could take from that. Just, if nothing else than the fact that when you're meichel somebody, the degree that you're meichel has to be sincere, because otherwise it's like, it's not really a mechila. If let's say you come over to me and you say, or I come over to you on Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and I ask you for mechila, and I really don't want to be meichel you, but I say, okay, I'm meichel you, but I'm thinking in my mind, I'm not meichel this guy. This guy was not nice to me. So who am I doing a favor to? Like, in Shamayim, I didn't really give you a mechila because, you know, because I didn't really mean it. So I was just doing it as a band-aid to get rid of you, so you'd leave me alone. And that's not good. You have to, that's why a lot of times people, I remember when I was in high school, so I was trying to say Tefillah Zaka on Erev Yom Kippur, and I was, you know, you always have that, you're trying to get in the zone, and there was like always a guy tapping on the shoulder. Yeah? He says, Bamberger, you meichel me? I was like, yeah, you meichel him. He says, B'leva b'nefesh? I said, yeah, b'leva b'nefesh. And that was it. Then he walked away. Because that b'leva b'nefesh is very important. Because I could have also faked him out with b'leva b'nefesh also, I guess. But b'leva b'nefesh means like, are you really meichel me? Not just, you know, get away from me, you know, I'm meichel you. But like, are you really meichel me? Are you deep down inside really meichel me? It's very hard to do that sometimes. It's very hard. There are people throughout the course of the year, and I'm thinking a few people right now as we speak, that like are really, you know, they did stuff that was bad. I mean, you know, they were whatever the case was. And I'm sure we each have our own scenarios that we could think of, people that hurt us, people that were not as loyal to us as we thought, or people that said badly about us, or whatever it may be. And it's very hard to muster the gvura, the strength, to give you a full mechila, which means that, okay, we're good again, or in Shemayim there's not going to be any tain on you because I'm meichel you. But it's very important to be meichel people, because if you're not meichel other people, Hashem is not going to be meichel you. Hashem is meichel. We ask HaKadosh Baruch every day, Slach lana min kechatanu, mechalan makin kevashanu, and then we come to Mrashana and Yom Kippur, we ask him mechila, and we want him to just erase all of our averas, but at the same time, he's examining our ability, our capacity to be meichel other people. And if we're able to like be very big-hearted, kind-hearted, generous, and say, listen, you did me wrong, I'm really not happy about it, really messed up a better part of my year, but I'm willing to be meichel you, b'lev v'nefesh, that's a very big thing. It's a very big thing. It's also very personally cathartic and therapeutic, because it's very bad to carry around tainus on you. If you're always walking around and you have tainus on this guy and that guy, and it's very burdensome. It means like, you know, you have a lot to always, you're always plagued by other people, and you're always allowing people to live in your brain rent free. And it's much better to like ease up and let it go, just blow it away and let it go and be meichel those people in your life. It might be a parent, it might be a rebbe, it might be a, you know, a friend, a chavrusa, a roommate. and you have issues with that person, it's much better to figure out a way to like work on yourself. Like you learn Musar a little bit and you say, I'm meichel him. It took me many years to do, but I'm meichel this person. And as soon as you do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send down tremendous mechila to you that of all the things we did wrong to him. But additionally, you're going to feel, hopefully, if you do it right, you're going to feel a very great weight that was lifted off of your shoulders because you had the strength and the bigness to be able to get over something and move beyond that gripe, that taina that you had against that person. You'll be a much happier person. Like, you know, in Tefillah Zakah, it says, you know, that you're meichel. Tefillah Zakah is the tefillah that you say before Kol Nidre. And very often, I always tell guys, you have to try to get to yeshiva early, to the Beis Medrash early on Erev Yom Kippur. Because, you know, we always tend to, the Yetzirah gets the best of us, and we always like trip in right before Kol Nidre. But we're missing out on a very big, especially, you know, when you're married and you have a bunch of kids, you have to finish the Siddur Mafsekes, bench all your kids, a special long Yom Kippur, Birchas Habanim, that's said on Erev Yom Kippur. And then you have to get them into the car, find parking, and then drop them off and whatever. By the time you do all that, it's already Kol Nidre and beyond. But if you're a bacher learning in yeshiva, there's really very little excuse. You're eating Siddur Mafsekes, you come down and you say Tfilas Zakai. Now I'm speaking as if this is like this is already Tishrei, but just keep this in mind. But this is something that, in Tfilas Zakai, which is a beautiful tefillah, it basically says that I'm being meichel everybody. I'm being meichel anyone that did anything to me. There's one caveat. And that is that unless the person owes me money, just because I'm meichel doesn't mean that if the guy owes me $100, I still want to get the $100 back. That's not part of the mechila. I mean, you could be meichel $100 also if you want, but I'm just saying when you're meichel somebody, it doesn't mean that if he owes you a lot of money, that means that you're forgiving the loan. It just means that you're meichel the taina that you have on him. But we see from this story something very important, that when you're meichel somebody and you're sincerely, you know, and the person comes to you sincerely and it's expecting mechila, you have to do a b'leivu b'nefesh. If you're not doing it, you just say, yeah, meichel you, but you're feeling, I'm not meichel you, then the guy's going to go up to Shamayim and he's not going to have mechila from you. And if you think that, all right, that I could live with that, that's good, because he doesn't deserve mechila, guess what? You're going to have to come back also to this world to give him mechila again. That's something that we don't always understand, that it takes both parties to come back and to right the wrong that may not have been righted in this world. All right, that's, I think, a very important piece that we learned. Let's learn one more tonight, one more story. But these aren't stories, these are Musar pieces in and of themselves. Look at this story in the bottom of page 51. Siper echad mi talmida b'zichron Yaakov. One of his talmidim in Zichron Yaakov said, "Shenasa maranzal pambara keves mirshalayim lechaifa." He was on a train together with Rebbe Lapian from Yerushalayim up to Haifa. It's a far train ride. V'shalay im tzrichim leimer tefilas aderech. They asked Rebbe Lapian, "Do I need to say tefilas aderech?" Always that question. You know, you're on a train. You don't know. Are there houses? Is it far enough? Of course, you have to say tefillah. What's a shiloh? La'acher zman ma, nichnas maran zal lasis trachav. So after a certain amount of time, so Rebellia came to do something that he needed to do. L'chashay yatzav natal yadav. He went to the bathroom, basically, and he came out. He washed his hands. Ramas biyadu l'shaiter echad sha'amad etzlay sheikabetz as kol ha'shaitrim. He motioned to one of the Jewish police officers that was standing there that he should gather all of the other police officers that were there. And his kapsu kulam svivay. They all gathered around this great tzaddik Rebbe Elie Lapian. And he turned to them and he said in Hebrew, and this is his language, I'm going to now make a bracha of Asher Yatzar. Va'atem kolchem tanu amin. I want all of you, I guess, presumably non-Haredi, non-religious maybe officers, I want all of you to answer amin. Ulapela, kikulam nenu lai bereisham laskama beretzinas gemura. These weren't people that were automatically, you know, buying in to the whole religion thing and the brachas thing, but for some reason they recognized that Rabbi Lapien was a great tzaddik, and they said to him, okay, we're all going to do it. We all agree, and they were very serious about it. And as Rabbi would normally do, generally do, he said the bracha one word at a time, slowly, loudly, and all of these police officers that were gathered around him answered, amen. He says in parentheses, agav, hayesham shaiter echad, one of the soldiers, the officers, shamrach ha'bzeh alashen, mi birchas asher yatzeh shel ha'rebi, yechayim lasis tshuva. You could do tshuva just from hearing the asher yatzeh that the Rebbe Elie Lapien said. That was the reishim that one asher yatzeh bracha had an effect on such a person. Avru kamar agoyim, a few minutes passed, varakeves ne'mada, the train stopped for about a half an hour. They found out that there was a bomb that was strapped to the bottom of the train. And miraculously, it didn't explode. Maran zal yashav lamikidaki went to learn normally. He didn't know what was going on, but there was a big tumult going on. Everyone was hacking about this bomb. What's the tumult? And he explained what happened. You tell me, is it important to say Tfilas Haderech? So let's take two takeaways from this story. Number one is that it's important to say Tfilas HaDerech. You have to learn the halachas of Tfilas HaDerech, and you have to say Tfilas HaDerech. And how many times do we drive faraway places, and it happens to me a lot, you know, you're driving somewhere, and all of a sudden you realize that, oops, I didn't say Tfilas HaDerech. You got there, at Baruch Hashem, you got there safely, but you didn't say Tfilas HaDerech. Tfilas HaDerech is a very, very important bracha. It's a bracha that should not be taken lightly. It's a bracha that literally has the capacity to save people's lives. There's stories about Rabbi Chanan Wasserman on boats and the importance that, you know, Tfilas HaDerech is a major way of protecting one, whether it's on an airplane, whether it's on a boat, whether it's in a car. You have to always make sure to say it on a bus and to say it properly. And there are halachas that, you know, not so many halachas, there are halachas you should learn, and that's very important. The other takeaway is the importance of saying Asher Yatzar properly. You see from the bracha of Aurelia Lapian how people could do tshuva from that bracha. How do our Asher Yatzars look? When we remember to say Asher Yatzar, we come out of the bathroom, whether it's, you know, whatever the trachim that you had in the bathroom, Asher Yatzar is probably the most important bracha that a person makes all day. Because it basically is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing how Shemi Paseach Echad Mehem, or Yisaseim Echad Mehem, Yefshar L'Skayim Lamin L'Fanach Avilu Shachas. If anything in the body goes wrong, if something that's supposed to be open, an orifice that's supposed to open, stays closed, or something that's supposed to stay closed is open, so you can't last. A human being can't exist. The miracle that we're able to function, that our body functions in the perfect way that it does when everything is working right, is lost on us because, Baruch Hashem, I mean, hopefully everyone in this room has not had any issues, you know, in any of these regards, in any of the nekavim and the chalulim of the body. I'll tell you, I guess it was 3 weeks ago, and I know I probably squeeze this for all it's worth already, but you'll forgive me for giving one last, you know, I woke up at 5 o'clock one morning, and it was just, I was very uncomfortable, and there was a lot of pain. I couldn't, like, sit normally. I couldn't lie in bed. Couldn't sit, and I was, I don't want to get into all the graphic details. I came, I gave the daf. I don't know how I did. I was, like, so uncomfortable. I couldn't sit. I was going crazy. I davened for 3 minutes. I put my tefillin on, took my tefillin off. I was pacing around like my whole kishka. Something was, like, really, really wrong. I went to the doctor at 9:45. Local doctor, he said, you have kidney stones. You have a kidney stone. And he gave me morphine, Baruch Hashem, which is a wonder drug. It's amazing, that stuff. If anyone knows where I could get it, you know, off market, just let me know. And I went, you know, the whole day, the serum were terrible. I don't think I got it as bad as a lot of other people that told me about, you know, their war stories after they heard that I went through this, but it was very bad, and then I had to go that night to the hospital to get a CAT scan. A long story, but basically that whole day, my Nekavim and Chalulim were not working at all in a normal capacity, and it was Gehenna Mamish. Now, I wish I could tell you, and Baruch Hashem, the stone passed, and I'm back to quote-unquote normal, but I wish I could tell you that my Asher Yatzars today are as good as the Asher Yatzars that was the day after this happened. I can't say that. Even though I was committed that I would make Asher Yatzars Kedasa Kedin, but, you know, unfortunately, that's the human condition. Like, we were very inspired to do something, and then, like, after, you know, as time passes, we get schwacher and schwacher. But if we would understand what has to happen in the human body for everything to function right, we would understand the miracle that the body is. I think one of the great Balei Musar, I don't know if it was Reb Chatzkel or Reb Yeruchim, used to say that, I think it was Reb Yeruchim, that if a person would know the miracle of going to the bathroom and everything just happens the right way, everything comes out, they would send a telegram to their close relatives that Baruch Hashem, I made it and I'm okay. We don't know what it means to go. We think, okay, go to the bathroom. It's like, it's funny. It's like, you know, it's an emoji. It's like it doesn't mean it. It's like just, you know. But going to the bathroom means that you had to eat food, you had to digest the food in your mouth, the saliva had to work, it had to go into your stomach, all the digestive fluids, the enzymes, everything had to break apart. All that food, it had to go through your large intestines, your small intestines, come through, you know, be filtered through the kidneys, and I don't know if I'm getting some of this wrong, you'll be mindful of me. It has to go through the, you know, the bladder and the this and the that, and come out just so. And we just take it for granted. We come out of the bathroom, we're already like checking our phones for, you know, who called us while we're in the, or whatever. An Asher Yatzar is a statement that thank you, Hashem, for that everything went smoothly. I know that there's a lot of people in the hospital that this is not going smoothly for. I understand that there's people that, you know, that are, I don't want to get into too many details, but some people can't, you know, control things from not coming out, and some people can't, what's supposed to come out is not coming out, and both of them are equally painful and equally dangerous and toxic. And we have to be grateful when things are working. And when things are working well, we make a bracha and we really have come on. And we're like those guys that sometimes you go out of the bathroom, you see these guys shuckling with the Asher Yatzar. They're at least at very minimum, they're looking at the sign, they're reading it off the sign. That should be the basic minimum that we do. But very often, I'm guilty, you know, as I always say, guilty as charged. You know, we're walking out of the bathroom, we're going down the steps, we're in the elevator, we're going up, and we're if we remember to say it, we're muttering it under our breath, like we have zero kavana. We always have to have kavana, but this is such a bracha that you have to have such hakar satev to Hashem when things go right, that we should be like a Rabbi Lapian, that if people would hear our bracha, they would do tshuva from our bracha. There's a Ramah, we'll just end with this. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that when it says, Reifei chal basar umafli lases, what is this mafli lases? What's the pella that Hashem does? The pella that Hashem does the wonder that he performs is that Hashem is able to combine the body, the ruach, and the geshem together. Normally, the spiritual and the physical are, they hate each other. They're opposites. They don't, it's like two magnets that are not drawing towards each other, but like repelling each other. You know, there's some types of magnets that are drawn to some you can't put them together. Ruchnis and Gashmis are diametrically opposed to each other, polar opposites, and you shouldn't be able to get 100 feet from a neshama and a guf should not be able to even be in the same, you know, MetLife Stadium. They just don't go together. But yet, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his brilliance, is able to take a body, a physical body, and then put a neshama into the body, a spirit, which is like a chelik alakam mimal, it's a piece of Hashem kaviyachal, the neshama and all of that, the ruach and the whole naran, and be able to combine the two together. That's umafli lasa, that's a pella. And that's what the human body really is. The human body has the capacity. It's not just physical. There's a lot of spiritual to the body. It's spiritual in the sense that we have a neshama in the body, we have ruach, we have a nefesh, and we have the ability to speak, which is a spiritual capacity. And many of the other functions that we take for granted are really a result of this combination of a ruach and neshama all combined as one. And that's one of the great blessings that we should have kavana for. The Ramah brings it. It's not just extra credit. This is the Ramah and Shulchan. You have to know this. When you're making an Asher Yatzar and you're trying to mechavin, what does this bracha mean? So a lot of the bracha is very simple what it means. Like what I said, you know, things have to be closed that are supposed to be closed, and things that are open are supposed to be open, and all happening at the right time. But at the end we say, Reifei Chabasa, you're the healer of all flesh. Whatever ailments, whatever frailties I might have, you heal them. Umafli lases, and you do wonders with me. You enable my body to just function so seamlessly. The ruach and the neshama and the guf and all of the ramach evarim shasagidim all to function so seamlessly that we don't even realize it. Like right now as I'm talking, you know how many things are happening? I'm moving my hands. That itself is a pella. Moving my feet. My brain is hopefully working, and then I'm speaking. My heart is pumping. My blood is coursing through my veins. My lungs are pumping, and my kidneys are hopefully functioning, and my liver and my all the muscles and the eyes and the ear. Look at it simultaneously. Am I doing this? I'm not doing anything. I don't know how to do this. I'm not a surgeon. I don't know how to fix anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly running. I'm not plugged into anything either, by the way. Where's the charger? Like, where's my charger? Imagine how my kids would fight over that. You know, that's what they say. Siblings are a funny thing. Like, they would donate a kidney to each other, but not a charger. They don't give a charger. It's true. There's always fights about who has the charger. That's my charger, your charger. I wrote with a Sharpie the kids' initials on the charger, and then it wore out, whatever. But that is, that's a very, very fundamental thing that we have to understand. Reifei Chalbasa Mafli Lases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with us in an eifen pella. So the human body is nothing, we're just used to it. It's nature, so we take it for granted. But think about that just for a second. Like my phone, I have to charge. If I don't charge my phone, it dies. But yet, I'm operating without. Okay, I eat and I sleep and whatever. But I'm not plugged into anything. Where's my charger? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a wondrous, self-contained, self-sufficient, self-running body that the heart is able to continue running, and all of the nervous system and the spine, everything. We see when we go to hospitals or if you work in HASC or whatever, you see what happens, Rahman al-Islam, when things are not running 100%, or when sometimes a baby, Rahman al-Islam, is born and they took a little longer to get out of the mother's stomach and it was deprived some oxygen the rest of their life, it's different. And so when we have all the blessings of good health, we have to really, really, you know, be kareo mishtacho, like bow down on the ground to the Rabbeinu Shalom for giving us this. And, you know, that's what we're saying tonight in the Vat. I think we all recognize this truth, but we have an opportunity to thank him every time we go to the bathroom. It could be 10 times a day, 15 times a day. And it behooves us to try, you know, when we have the peace of mind, we have the, but every single time, but if not every single time, how about once a day, to like really try to be mechavin with the bracha of Asher Yatzar and to understand the bracha and to remember its importance, because we don't want to find out the other way. We don't want to have the inspiration because of when it doesn't work properly. We want to be able to thank Hashem when things are going smoothly, and when we do it, when things are going smoothly, that itself is a shtickle, like insurance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to give us any reminders of, to, you know, to get us, to galvanize us, to say the bracha with kavana because of a negative. Right now we have a chance to like go and let Hashem use this as an impetus to try to remind ourselves that when we make this Asher Yatzar, this all-important bracha, we have kavana and we appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's graciousness with us every single day.